You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people. It is good to be back.
We are back. It's been 2 weeks. Since we've almost a full 2 weeks since we've done a show, a same old Dolphin show, I should clarify. We were on the Dolphins Talk Roundtable last week, but it's been 2 weeks since we've done a proper same old Dolphin show. We did it on Sunday night live while we were together in Tampa after the Dolphins whooped up on the Cleveland Browns. That was the last time we did the show. Last time we did a show in the studio was, I think, Wednesday of that week. Or something like that, Wednesday or Thursday that week? No. We did it Friday that week before the game. So
yeah.
So the last time we did a show in studio, it was the previous Monday. So, I mean, it's been a long time since we've done it like this. But it's good to be back. We've had the bye week. We've gotten rested. We've healed. We're feeling better. And we are ready to take on the final seven games of this Miami Dolphins season. And for all the talk about how this is not the same old Dolphins this season. And to be fair, they have not looked at all like the same old Dolphins. We're going to find out over the next 7 weeks what this team is really made of, because particularly in three of the next four games. But first, we've got this big game coming up on Sunday against the Houston Texans that the Dolphins need to get through first. But before we do that, I got my USMNT old school jersey. This is the 2002 World Cup jersey that I'm rocking right now because the World Cup is going on, which is really weird having Thanksgiving happening and it's also World Cup time. So it's like soccer's on, and I've been off all week from work because, you know, I got our mom and dad are in town, so I'm hosting them in my house, and we're hanging out, watching the World Cup, cheering on the USMNT. As it happens, the Dolphins are on bye, so I'm, like, really, like, focused into them. I'm having a good time. I like having the World Cup in the fall. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's a nice change from just having American football on. So it's pretty cool to have that going on during the holiday season, because it's kind of a holiday vibe when, like, the World Cup is on, even though it's, like, usually in the summertime. Like, that whole, like, waking up, especially when it's, like, in Europe or somewhere, you know, 6 hours ahead or however many hours ahead.
8 hours ahead Qatar is right now.
Yeah, so it's cool because it's like that whole, like, getting up really early in the morning to watch a match while you're drinking your morning coffee and you're still, like, half asleep. It's a different kind of vibe that I think it just makes me feel like the holidays, even when it's the summertime.
Yeah, it is a very, very holiday vibe, hanging out, waking up at 5 a.m., watching some football. So it's pretty fantastic. And we want to keep that holiday vibe going, but we want that holiday vibe to end at 1 o'clock on Sunday when the Miami Dolphins take on the Houston Texans. And we're going to talk about that game here in just a minute. But first, a reminder, if you're not doing so already, make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Amplified Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. And of course, you can download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphins show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcast. And we'd appreciate it if you take that extra little bit of time to hit subscribe, to leave us a five-star rating, leave us a positive review. We appreciate that. If you're watching live right now on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, we hope that you will go ahead and smash that like button. If you're watching it on demand on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, go ahead and hit the like button anyway, because that really helps us out. So just take a moment to do that if you could. We'd appreciate it. Leave us a comment. Let us know what you think about the Dolphins and this game upcoming against the Houston Texans. We want to see, we want to hear from you, because it's a big one. It's a big one, and it may be, well, what's that phrase? A trap game, and we're going to get into that in a little bit here. So make sure you like the channel, subscribe to the channel, turn on notifications so you never miss a live show. And of course, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day, multiple times, in fact, because it is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. Brain, the Miami Dolphins are sitting at 7-3 as we record on Friday evening. The Miami Dolphins are a half game back of the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. Of course, the Bills won their Thanksgiving game over the Detroit Lions because Dan Campbell doesn't know how to manage a football game. And, you know, the Bills really, they squeaked one out over there against the Lions on Thanksgiving to put their record up to 8-3. So the Dolphins are going to try to catch them with a win on Sunday. But after the Dolphins have this game against the Houston Texans on Sunday, Brain, the Dolphins enter what is the toughest part of their schedule, right? We've talked at length on this show how this section of the schedule that the Dolphins have been are just kind of reaching the end of now was the easy part of the schedule. And we always figured that the Dolphins would be getting here with a record of something like 8-3, 7-4, something like that. And then they would go on this stretch that after this game, the Dolphins go on the road for three consecutive games at the San Francisco 49ers, at the Los Angeles Chargers, and at the disgusting, awful, horrible, no good Buffalo Bills. And those are going to be, and then they come home and they've got a Christmas Day game against the Green Bay Packers. And as you know, as we've said on this show before as well, as bad as the Packers have looked at times this season, you're not going to catch me sleeping on Aaron Rodgers. So, Brain, there is a
thank
big
goodness
stretch
for
of
that.
Games. What's that?
Thank goodness we're not going to catch you sleeping on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you're
that
not going to catch me sleeping on Aaron Rodgers. I'm very careful about how and when I sleep on Aaron Rodgers. So here's the thing. Big game coming up here against the Houston Texans. Coming out of the bye, you've largely gotten healthy. The one sort of step backwards in that regard is that Raheem Mostert has picked up a knee injury and he's currently listed as doubtful. So it sounds like he's going to miss this game on Sunday. But other than that, everybody that, you know, hasn't had a season-ending injury is good to go.
So you're saying Byron Jones is out for the season?
Byron Jones also exists. And so the Dolphins are coming into this game pretty healthy and knowing the next four games that are on their radar. Is this a trap game? Coming off of the bye, yes, but coming into a game against a Houston Texans team that has just committed to a quarterback change, bringing in the veteran Kyle Allen to be their starting quarterback on Sunday and giving Davis Mills a seat on the bench. Brain, is this a trap game?
I think because of the bye week, it doesn't have that same feel of a trap game. Now, if they go out there and they lay an egg, then that's going to be the narrative. The narrative is going to be the Dolphins overlooked the Texans. This was a trap game. They fell into the trap. And to a certain extent, like, yeah, there's human nature to it. The Texans are the worst team in the league. There's nothing that they do as a team on either side of the ball that should give Miami considerable difficulty. If Miami just plays their game and plays a solid football game, should be a relatively stress-free game. It's not necessarily going to be a cakewalk. It's still an NFL team that you're lining up against. But if Miami just goes out there and takes care of business, they should win this game, you know, right around where the point spread is, which is, last I checked, two touchdowns, I think 14 points.
13 points is the last that I saw.
But that said, the only way that the Dolphins are going to lose this game is if they do what we just did, which was focus all of our energy on what's coming after this Houston Texans game instead of focusing the energy on the task at hand, which is beating the Houston Texans. Because they are coming off of a bye week, I believe that there has been considerable emphasis on getting healthy and looking at this last stretch as like the second half of the season. All of the messaging out of, you know, Dolphins camp or, you know, the Dolphins camp with whether it's, you know, practice, press conferences, interviews from players, all of the messaging seems to be that they are focused and they're ready to go back to work. And because of it, I think they're going to be really motivated to play really well and keep the momentum that they had built going into the bye. And I think this is kind of a perfect scenario for them to have a team like this, because the other thing that might happen is kind of what we saw in the Pittsburgh game, which is Tua hadn't played for a week. This offense that's so built on timing and rhythm, the offense could get a little rusty. And so have it. It's almost like when a college team plays a directional school and a cupcake at the start of the season, like it's a regular season game, but it's sort of like a built-in preseason game. Again, not saying that the Houston Texans are a cupcake and like they're going to roll over because they're still a National Football League team. And if Miami doesn't take care of business, this isn't like, you know, an Alabama going up against a like Jacksonville State where they could just roll out of bed, play mediocre football and still win by 30 points. It's not going to be that. If Miami really doesn't come into this game focused and makes a bunch of mistakes, they could easily lose this football game. But yeah, and you're, if they you're take up against- care, that's the only way they're losing this game is if they're not focused.
Yeah. I mean, you're going up against a Houston Texans team that you got a lot of guys playing for jobs, right? You got the professor, Neville Hewitt. You've got, and there are some athletes over there as well, right? There's not just, you know, the guy we joke around about, Neville Hewitt, but I mean, there's talent on that team as well. There's Brandon Cooks. You got Nico Collins, a couple of nice receivers. OJ Howard is still kicking around over there at tight end. And you've got this rookie sensation running back, Damian Pierce, who has looked very, very good. So it's not to say that this team, when the Texans have the ball, can't do anything. Now, the Dolphins do get a boost in that the one sort of bright spot on the Texans' defensive side of the ball, Derek Stingley Jr., is going to miss this game with an injury. I think he's nursing a hamstring, so he's going to miss this game. And so that, you know, really opens things up for the Dolphins to get some things done throwing the ball, which I think is fantastic. But you know, it's like you said, you can't sleep on it. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in that it does provide a little bit of a soft landing if the Dolphins are coming out of the bye with some rust that they need to shake off. You know, you're kind of thankful for the fact that you're going up against a Houston Texans team that, you know, is averaging something like 16 points a game or something this season. Like, this is not a team that has been an offensive powerhouse or anything like that. So, you know, it is like you say, a soft landing. But again, it's still the National Football League. You can't sleep on anybody.
Yeah, 100%. And if the Dolphins come out there and they turn the ball over three or four times and they're committing penalties and the timing is off and, you know, they blow assignments, look, they can absolutely find themselves in a dogfight with Houston and they could absolutely lose this game. It's not like the Dolphins are some perfect team. And like I said, it's not college. So it's not like any team is a cupcake. Literally any given Sunday, anybody can beat anybody. I mean, look, even the stripped down 2019 Dolphins managed to find a way to win five of their last nine games. And that was a team almost completely devoid of talent. So look, it can happen. I just think that with the bye week built in after that last game, I think the team's coming back focused. I think they're going to be ready. I don't think they're going to miss a beat.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think that they're going to be ready. McDaniel is going to have the team ready, and they're going to ride into this one, and I think they're going to be ready to go. Guns blazing, as you will. And so it sounds like Raheem Mostert's going to miss this game with this knee injury that he's picked up. So we're going to see probably a lot of Jeff Wilson Jr. in this game. And Brain, when you think about it in that terms, it turns out that Jeff Wilson trade was pretty significant, because he's going to come in and he's going to be your primary back. I mean, we're probably going to see a little bit of Savon Ahmed, Miles Gaskin maybe as well on Sunday. But man, you got to feel a lot better having Jeff Wilson Jr. at running back right now than you did having Chase Edmonds as your number two.
Well, you certainly feel good about the way Jeff Wilson Jr. has been running the ball the last two football games, and you feel good about the progress that this Dolphins offensive line has made in the run blocking. And you also have to feel really great that they're going up against the Houston Texans, because this Texans run defense is horrendous. They're giving up, I don't remember what the stat was, but it's like in all but three games this season, I think it was, they've given up at least 140 yards rushing. So the Dolphins don't need to have 140 yards rushing, but if they can just basically do what every other team is doing to Houston running the football, you combine that with their passing offense. I mean, you should have a clear pathway to putting up a lot of points against this Houston team.
Yeah, you would certainly hope anyway. My goodness. So as the Dolphins prepare for this one, let's just take a look. I mean, with Kyle Allen, Brain, this is a guy who's played a little bit, something of a journeyman. He's played for Carolina. I think he spent a little time in Washington as well. Is there anything that you think Kyle Allen is going to do that maybe Davis Mills couldn't do, that is something that you know the Dolphins might need to think about? Because as I mentioned, they do have Nico Collins, they do have Brandon Cooks. Those are good receivers, and if the Dolphins have had a weak spot this year, it's been the defense.
There's nothing that Kyle Allen's going to do that Davis Mills doesn't do that the Dolphins need to think about. Like, it should not affect the Dolphins' game plan one way or another. The one effect that it could have is that you often see this around the league, that when a team is struggling and they make a quarterback change, sometimes it just has a galvanizing effect and it causes a spark.
Yeah, they call that the dead cat bounce.
Yeah, so you might be facing maybe a more energized Houston Texans team than maybe the team has been the last few weeks, because maybe they're energized by a change there. But as far as talent and the type of quarterbacks that they are, it's not a huge difference. They're similar types of quarterbacks, and it really shouldn't change anything that Miami's doing. I mean, Brandon Cooks is a solid receiver, but you should be able, if Xavien Howard is healthy, and I, you know, he got the extra week off, he's played for a few weeks, I think we have to be under the impression that Xavien Howard is healthy. If Xavien Howard is healthy, he should be able to basically shut down Brandon Cooks. And the rest of this Dolphins secondary should be fine against the also-rans that are the Houston Texans' weapons. Damian Pierce is a good running back, but you saw what the Dolphins were able to do against a traditional running game like the Cleveland Browns had. Damian Pierce is a similar type of running back to Nick Chubb, but he's not Nick Chubb. It's like a poor man's Nick Chubb. So if you can do that to a much better offensive line and, frankly, a better running back, you should be able to do that to, you know, Damian Pierce. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Jacoby Brissett is a world beater or an Amari Cooper is an amazing number one wide receiver, but that's a better quarterback wide receiver tandem that you just went up against and shut down the week previous to, or the game previous, I should say. So there's nothing that Houston can do that Miami should be overly nervous about or feel like they need to do anything extra or special in the game planning. They just need to execute.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. On the other side of the ball, Brain, with the Dolphins, well, I guess actually staying on the defensive side of the ball, we've seen some signs, saw some signs in that Cleveland game that you know, Bradley Chubb, the addition of Bradley Chubb is making a difference, and that the Dolphins are starting to be able to generate a little bit more pressure just with that front four, which is thereby eliminating that need to be blitzing constantly, which is, you know, how the Dolphins wanted to run things when they had a healthy Xavien Howard and a healthy Byron Jones. And so is that something that we're going to see more of? I mean, Houston has an okay offensive line when it comes to being able to protect the quarterback, but they're, I mean, I wouldn't call them great. And they're not going to be as good as Cleveland's offensive line. Cleveland's offensive line, I think, is pretty decent. And the Dolphins, you know, had some success getting through that offensive line. So do you think that's something that we're going to see more of building on here as the team starts to gel a little bit more with the addition of Bradley Chubb, even though, you know, they've sort of adjusted for the loss of Emmanuel Ogba and the addition of Bradley Chubb?
I think what we've seen out of the Dolphins defense the last 2 weeks is kind of what their MO is going to be unless there is a significant change to the players that are playing in the secondary. And that basically means if Byron Jones doesn't come back or if Brandon Jones doesn't come back, heck, I don't even know if it matters necessarily that, you know, from a game plan perspective, whether Brandon Jones comes back this year, or if it's just Byron Jones. But if Byron Jones comes back, then you might see them be a little bit more aggressive on first and second downs. But right now without him, I think the whole idea of bringing in Bradley Chubb was to get pressure with four, so that you didn't have to rely on so much blitz. I think when you play a team like Houston or like Cleveland or like Chicago, who don't really have a lot of weapons that threaten you on the outside, I think you can afford to be a little extra aggressive on third downs, which is what we've seen the last couple of weeks. And I fully expect the same thing, that this Dolphins team will bring the heat and blitz and be happy to blitz on third down and bring pressure looks on third down. But on first and second down, I think they'll be more inclined to play, you know, just rushing four and, you know, trust that they can put seven guys in coverage and that their talented front four will be able to put pressure on the quarterback. And frankly, that's what they're getting paid to do. That's what they need to do. And they should be able to do that in this game. And I think it's a formula that, you know, maybe backfired a little bit against Chicago because they didn't really have a good game plan for Justin Fields, but you saw what they could do against Cleveland against a quarterback that's not going to run for 178 yards. And that is most assuredly going to be the case again this week. So I don't expect a big change in the Dolphins defensive game plan. I think rush four first and second down, third and long, bring the heat.
I like the sound of that, honestly. I'm in the process of pulling up Kyle Allen's career rushing numbers, and I can't find any. So here we go.
There you go.
Rushing and receiving. He has, on his career, he has run the ball 46 times for 162 yards, including four touchdowns, career long of 17 yards.
So watch him when you get in near inside the 10.
I know. I'm kind of curious, like, what the over is on his rushing yards for the game, and I might just take a flyer on it because it seems like anybody, even Jacoby Brissett, like, ripped off a big run against us last week. But I don't know. We'll keep an eye on Kyle Allen in this one. So, but before we make our predictions for the game, Brain, did you know that they are revealing a statue at Hard Rock Stadium on Sunday to honor the return of a Miami Dolphins hero who has not been in South Florida for some time and is somebody who has been instrumental in the building of this franchise? I have, through my sources, I have got a sneak peek of the statue that is going to be unveiled. So this is an exclusive reveal here on the Same Old Dolphin Show of the new statue that they are unveiling outside of Hard Rock Stadium this Sunday as the Houston Texans come to town. So let me go ahead and show you right now the statue that is going to be revealed on Sunday. There it is. There is the statue of Laremy Tunsil, who resulted in 4 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and a third-round pick, who was instrumental in the Miami Dolphins bringing in guys like Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and Bradley Chubb. This guy is an absolute legend, all because of a gas mask video.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
He is absolutely a hero. So I'm looking forward to the reveal of the Laremy Tunsil statue, although I maintain that the statue should not be of Laremy Tunsil. It should be of the guy who leaked the gas mask video. That's the guy who we should be building the statue of. But hey, we don't want to encourage that sort of behavior on the internet. But shout out to Laremy Tunsil as he makes his triumphant return to South Florida. Guy's a difference maker.
Dude, made it happen. You're absolutely right, though. I mean, the person who leaked that video in the gas mask, there's no way Tunsil falls to us at 11 that year.
And no chance.
It changed the franchise.
Well, it changed.
We would have taken like a nose tackle at that pick.
Yeah, and God only knows how that would have played out. So, you know, hey, it's going to be shout out Laremy Tunsil. I hope they give that man a standing ovation. If you're going to the game on Sunday, give that man a standing ovation because, man, I don't know that there's ever been another player that the Dolphins have traded away that has reaped such handsome rewards for the franchise.
Not even close. I mean, yeah. I can't think of another that, not even close.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good situation for the Dolphins. And Laremy Tunsil's coming back. So welcome him with open arms. Give him a standing ovation there, Miami Dolphins Nation. All right, Brent, we're going to make our predictions for this game. But first, I gotta do a read here from our good friends at Manscaped. And Brent, this, I got to tell you, that this Manscaped read opens with a take. Are you ready for the take? The take is it's never too early to play holiday music. How do you feel about that take?
It's never too early to play holiday music sparingly. Like a Christmas song, you know, here and there sprinkled throughout the year. I got no problem with it. But I'm not listening to like a whole holiday album in July.
See. You're not shotgunning Mr. Hankey's Christmas classics in June?
I don't know. Maybe. I feel like we've done that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a timeless record, really. But like our friends at Manscaped say, it's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts, whether it's for a friend or for the friends in your pants. You can make this season a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and using the promo code DolphinsTalk for free shipping and 20% off. The Manscaped Platinum Package 4.0 is the one-stop shop for the man who deserves it all. It is everything needed to help you deck the halls from face to balls just in time for mistletoe season. The Platinum Package has each product from the best-selling performance package, plus ultra-premium body wash, ultra-premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, and ultra premium deodorant. It's the best way to smell fresh from your Santa hat to your candy cane. The Lawnmower 4.0 body trimmer and the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer feature proprietary advanced skin safe technology to protect your delicate presence. Plus, both are waterproof, so there's no issue clearing the snow out of your driveway. There's also a 4000K LED light on it, so you can light the way like Rudolph. And now that you've groomed your candy cane, it's time to make sure you don't smell like a reindeer with the Platinum Package's shower products. All of Manscaped shower gear Gear is sulfate-free, vegan, and made to have your skin feeling hydrated and smelling fresh. But smelling good doesn't stop at the shower. No, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner can solve stank problems all day long. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back. The Platinum Package 4.0 sitting under the tree is guaranteed to put anyone in the holiday spirit. And for the perfect stocking stuffer, add in the brand new Body Buffer, an incredible body scrubber that makes exfoliating easy and a lot cleaner than that old loofah. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code DolphinsTalk. Manscaped, get your jingle balls ready for the holidays. I mean, those guys are constantly coming up with the best copy.
They're the Weird Al Yankovic of the ad business.
I mean, they're good, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
They're prolific.
And the products are good, too. I mean, it's not like, hey, these are clever words that we've come up with to read in the podcast. You know, the products are good, too.
Class, so, all right. Class organization, top to bottom.
That's right. Total class from your head to your foot. So let's get down to it here, folks. Let's make some predictions. If you're watching live, go ahead and share your prediction for the game in the comments on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. Go ahead and drop those in the comments. Brain, how do you see this one playing out on Sunday?
I think the Dolphins start fast. I think that there's going to be some moments where maybe you see a little bit of timing issues crop up here and there. But for the most part, I think this is going to be the second game in a row that's going to be relatively stress-free. Because I just think that, you know, the only way the Dolphins lose this game is if they beat themselves. And I think that this team is focused. I think getting healthy, coming off the bye, this team's had the time to feel good about themselves and be ready to go out there. I think Miami gets this thing done. I think they play well in all three phases. I think this might be the week where they actually play well in all three phases, because the offense and the defense played great against Cleveland, but the special teams, it was really a struggle. I think this is the one where Jason Sanders gets his groove back a little bit.
Oh.
And the Dolphins, even though there's going to be, you know, some times where you're like, you know, we couldn't finish that drive off with a touchdown, we're going to get to see Jason Sanders kind of working his way out of a funk so that we can come down the home stretch feeling like we can trust our kicker again. Jason Sanders kicks three field goals, Tua Tagovailoa throws for three touchdowns, and the Miami Dolphins win this one 30-13.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And they cover. So that's good for some people out there who are frequenting BetUS. So that's good. That's good. We like that. I as much as I try to, you know, try to keep my feet on the ground and try to look at this game and look at it fairly and objectively, I just don't see the Dolphins making a mess of this. Now, they have before. I mean, this is the biggest, the biggest favorites that the Dolphins have been in a game, I think, since opening week of 2002, where they were, I think, 12 or 13 point favorites against the Houston Texans, and of course, went on to lose. So, I mean, it's certainly not beyond the shadow of possibility that the Dolphins, you know, come out and lay a complete egg and lose this game. But I just, as much as we're the same old Dolphins show and losing this game would be a very same old Dolphins thing for them to do, I just don't see that that's something that's going to happen. And in fact, I don't even think that this is going to be a game that is really that competitive at the end of the day. I think the Dolphins might be a little bit slow out of the gate early in this one. And I think that's the only way this game is even possibly close, is if the Dolphins just struggle to get going offensively. But eventually, I think they will. And eventually, I think they're going to get the win. And I think it's going to end up being fairly comfortable in that regard. So Give me the Dolphins putting up a 40 burger in this one. I like the Dolphins getting the win. I'm going to call it 41-12.
Okay. Big so, time cover.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 41-12. Lots of points. A couple of 90-second touchdown drives. How about that?
Give Houston an extra 10, 15 points and put some big money on it.
Do you think I'm going to pull up some stats here. I want to get your thoughts on some props for this game. Okay. Can we do that? Can we?
Okay. Real quick.
This isn't gambling advice, but I'm going to pull it up here. So hold on a second. Let me get this game up here. Oh, there it is. Boom, boom. Miami Dolphins. Da-da-dum. Passing props. Let's start there. Tua Tagovailoa touchdowns over 2.5. You said he's going to pass for 3. So
I probably wouldn't bet that, but if I was going to go one way or the other, I'd go over.
Tua over 28.5 passing yards.
Over 28.5 passing yards?
Sorry, 285.5, excuse me.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go under. I think the defense is going to play really well in this game. I think we're going to run the ball effectively. I think we might have some short fields, because of some turnovers. I don't think we'll have to throw that much for Tua to have 285 yards pass.
I like it. How about this one? Damian Pierce, 64.5 rushing yards.
I'd go under.
Jeff Wilson. Over 80.5.
With no Mostert, I'd go over.
What about this one? Tua Tagovailoa over 4.5.
Over 4.5.
Rushing yards.
that's the toughest one so far. I go over. It was one scramble. It's one scramble.
How about Jaylen Waddle, 67.5 receiving yards?
Yeah, I go over.
Yeah, smashing the over on that one. And then Tyreek Hill, 92.5 receiving yards.
I go over. I think you always go over on those two guys because they get such a dominant share of the targets. And it just takes one big play for them to just have a monster game.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. So... All right, there it is. So some fun stats, some fun with numbers. We think the Dolphins are gonna hit it big on Sunday. So let's see. Anything else you want to add about this game, Brian?
No, I think this one's pretty cut and dry. If you just take care of business and, you know, you don't try to get overly cute and you don't make mental errors, the Dolphins should win this game and it should be pretty stress-free. But if they do find themselves in a dogfight, you know, we'll see how they handle that. They've been good at, you know, during this stretch of and heck, even before this stretch, the stretch of the beginning of the season, they showed the moxie to close games out. So if you are in a close game, so far you kind of like what you see from this Dolphins team, that they're going to know how to pull out games when they're close. But you would hope that this would not be a stressful one.
Yeah, you would certainly hope that it tends to be a stress-free Sunday afternoon for the Miami Dolphins. Whether or not it actually ends up playing out that way, we're going to find out. But hopefully will be, because things are going to get a lot more challenging for this Miami Dolphins team after this game. And that is when we're really going to find out what this team is made of, because I think it's easy to say that everything is going well and it's all full steam ahead when things are going well. But we have not yet seen this team, and you know, you can take it for what it is, but the fact of the matter is we have not seen this team at full health take that punch to the face and lose that game and then have to bounce back from that. We have, you know, we've seen the team face some adversity. Obviously, the Buffalo game was a hard-fought game, and obviously the comeback against Baltimore. These were big wins, right? Impressive wins that the Dolphins pulled up. But we have yet to see this Dolphins team this season drop a game at full strength and then have to bounce back from it. And I'm not saying that necessarily that's what's going to happen, but part of me, like, you know, I kind of want to see how this team responds to that. Let's see what happens when things don't go well, you know, when things do fall apart. I mean, that Cincinnati game was, I think, kind of the closest to that, where, like, before Tua went out of the game, it was a game that they were kind of playing sloppy, that it wasn't all there, that it wasn't clicking the way that it's supposed to. And they ended up losing that game. But again, Tua wasn't in there in the second half. So, you know, it you take it for what it is. But I'm really curious to see how this team does when they start to face real adversity and start to take on real challengers while they are still at full strength. And I think that's the next question that's out there. And we're going to really see what the team is made of. I'm not saying don't be happy with where they're at. I'm not saying don't enjoy this. I mean, the last thing that we said on the show after that Cleveland game was, as a Dolphin fan, you should absolutely be enjoying every second of this ride right now. But now, after this game against Houston, then we're going to find out what this team is really made of, because that is when they're going up against legitimate contenders. And that's when we're going to really see.
And I'll just say, like, one last thing, just piggybacking off of that, it's kind of like what you said early in the show, which was, when you created a formula for how the Dolphins were going to make the playoffs this year, it didn't necessarily matter how they got there. But you kind of knew that they needed to get to that 6-game stretch at the end of the season, at least 7-4, to really feel good about their chances. But even at 8-3, you felt like they really need to be 8-3, because they probably got to win 11 games. And, like, it might be asking a little bit too much for them to finish better than 3-3 in those last 6 games, considering 4 of the 6 are on the road. And they're all against, you know, pretty good teams. And, you know, that said, obviously Green Bay, not as good as we thought that they were going to be. But then again, the Jets, better than we thought that they were going to be. Maybe the Chargers, not as good as we thought they were going to be. Then again, last we saw the Chargers, they were going toe to toe with Kansas City, and they got, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it came when they got their wide receivers back. That team's getting healthier. And even though record wise, they're not where they would like to be or where most people expected them to be, that's still a very dangerous team. And it just brings me to my last point here, which is this week, obviously the Dolphins need to take care of business. That's the biggest thing. But look around the scoreboard. Obviously the Jets, at 6-4, they've got a game. They should beat the Bears. They've got the Bears at home, but that's not a pushover. The Chargers are at Arizona, not a pushover. But even if those two teams win their games, I'm looking at the Cincinnati at Tennessee game. If Cincinnati loses that game, then no matter what, the Dolphins are going to be 2 games ahead of, I mean, even if all those teams win, even if Cincinnati wins, as long as the Dolphins take care of business, they're going to be 2 games up on the number 8 seed, which is the first team on the outside looking in, which would be New England. But if Cincinnati loses, then they're 2 games up of the 7 seed. So it's like the Dolphins have put themselves in this position right now, as long as they take care of business on Sunday, that barring a major collapse, they're going to be a playoff team. Not so that they can't collapse, because it'd be very Dolphins, same old Dolphins for them to do so. But more and more, this does look like a playoff team. Just don't screw it up. Just don't screw it up.
So 7 games left. What does the Dolphins' record over those 7 games need to be to make the playoffs? The way that you're talking, you sound convinced that the Dolphins could go 3-4 and make the playoffs.
If I mean, honestly, as long as they win the division games, they could go 10-7 and they're making the playoffs.
Well, yeah, if they beat Buffalo,
I mean, you could even throw the Buffalo game out. Like, if they lose the games, if they win the AFC games, like if they beat the Jets and the Patriots, yeah, let's leave it at that. Because let's say they beat the Texans, they go to 8-3, and then they beat the Patriots and the Jets. I mean, we'll own the tiebreaker over the Patriots. We'll own the tiebreaker over the Jets based on division record as well, because the Jets would have 3 division losses. So we'd win the tiebreaker against both of those teams and we'd be 2 games up. I mean, I guess it's possible that the Chargers could beat you, could pass you. But honestly, like if you win the games that you're supposed to win right now against the teams that you really look at it and you say, hey, we're better than this team, which is like Houston, New England and the Jets. And frankly, they should beat Green Bay as well. But I think if you just win those games and you go 10-7, you're probably making the playoffs. But if you win 11 games, you're definitely in.
As you look at the rest of the Dolphins schedule, there's one team on their schedule the rest of the way, as of right now, that has a record that is better than the Dolphins. And that's the Buffalo Bills. And if the Dolphins, and that's only because the Bills have played one game more than they have. Every right. other team currently has at least 4 losses.
Yeah, but I wouldn't look at the Dolphins schedule and say, hey, yeah, we're definitively better than the 49ers or the Chargers. I do feel, I mean, you can make a case that we're not definitively better than the Patriots or the Jets, but I would say that we are. I think 10 wins probably is going to get them into the playoffs, as long as those wins aren't like they beat San Francisco and they beat Green Bay and then they beat like the Chargers, but they lose. Well, I don't know. Like yeah. Even that could end up working out well for them. But yeah. As long as they win the division games, they should be good.
It is starting to line up in such a way. And again, this isn't to preclude the possibility of the bottom completely falling out, right? I mean, that's always a possibility. But it's beginning to look like the Dolphins could, even if they, you know, were to go one game under 500, even if they were to go 3-4, it is beginning to look like 10-7 still gets you to the playoffs. This is a good question here.
Yeah, I thought we were going to close the show, but I think it's important that we address this question.
So this came in from Jeff Carey on YouTube, and he says, do we just want the playoffs? Put it back up there. Do we just want the playoffs, or do we want the AFC East championship? And I think it's a good question. Here's the thing. At this point, the thing coming into the season was this Dolphins team needed to make the playoffs, and I don't believe that most people who were objectively looking at it figured that the Dolphins, if they were going to make the playoffs, were going to make the playoffs by virtue of the wild card, that they were not going to win the AFC East. I think right now the Buffalo Bills, partially because Josh Allen is dealing with an injury, but also just partially because I think the Bills maybe are not quite clicking on all cylinders the way that everybody expected to. I think that it's there for the taking for the Dolphins to win the AFC East. I think at this point with 7 games to go, it is much more realistic than I think it was at the beginning of the season. At the end of the day, though, unless we're talking about the Dolphins somehow ending up with a first round bye, you know, and being the number one overall seed in the AFC, the goal for this team this season still really is, let's just get into the postseason. That, I think, has been the goal at the beginning. But I think if you can get to the playoffs, you want to win a game. And however that needs to happen, that's the thing. So if you're winning a game because you're the home team, because you won the AFC East, fantastic. If you're winning the game because you're playing in the wild card round at Tennessee or whatever, and you win that game, that's fine too. That's ultimately what I'm looking at. That's what I want to do, is see this team really succeed. I want to see this team get to the playoffs and play confident, competent football, and hopefully get themselves a postseason victory for the first time since the Clinton administration in the process.
So I agree with a lot of what you said, but I said it a couple weeks ago, and I'll keep hammering on this point. When the Dolphins made the trade for Bradley Chubb, if you were excited about that trade, the reason that you were excited about that trade was because you felt like that was the difference in putting this team over the top. That was the missing piece. That's certainly the type of move that it was. You don't trade what they traded and pay what they paid for that kind of player, considering the current and very near future of their cap space situation, if you're not thinking, hey, this is the piece that's going to put us over the top so we can contend for a championship. And so that said, when they made that move, I went from the fair expectation of this team is you got to get into the playoffs and they really need to win a game, because it's been so long since they've won a playoff game and they're supposed to be, you know, contending. We're supposed to believe that they're taking the next step and rounding the corner. So getting to the playoffs and winning a game was going to be the goal. When they made that move, you make that move, you've built yourself a small window that you've got to win. And that doesn't mean get to the playoffs and win a game. You've got to be a serious title contender. And frankly, you can't come up short. So they're going to have, in many ways, the same team next year, save for a couple of people that they're not bringing back. And so hopefully you're hoping that they're maybe a little bit more fortunate in the health department next year with some key players. But the nature of the league, that's that's 50-50. That could go one way or the other. You said it yourself. The division looks like the Bills are, there's cracks in the foundation there. There's something up with them. They're not firing on all cylinders. So it does look like there is an opportunity this year to make it happen. It's going to be definitively easier for the Dolphins to make a deep run as a division winner, because if they win their division, as long as they're the 2 seed or better, they're not playing a road game until the AFC title game. And just look at the way the team's played this year. They've played definitively better at home. They have a home field advantage. So I think it's huge for this team to win the division. I'm not expecting them to win the division at this point, but I think you have to raise your level of expectation the way this roster has been managed, and they should aspire to win the division. And it certainly looks a lot more attainable now than it did at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It absolutely does. So, man, all of that to say, boy, don't go in there and lose this game on Sunday, because then the entire narrative shifts in a very rotten way. So let's see. Let's just go in there, take care of business like you're supposed to on Sunday against Houston. Let's not worry about it. Let's have it be a nice stress-free Sunday afternoon. Let's celebrate the return of Laremy Tunsil. Let's get that big win. And then we can really start to look ahead to this tough part of the schedule. And let's face it, this is where it's going to start to get really exciting and really fun, because this is where this team can really start to show that they're not actually the same old Dolphins. I still think it's way too early to be making statements that they're not at this point, because we've seen this countless times. If you've been a Dolphin fan as long as we've been Dolphins fans, you've seen the Dolphins team with good records like this and come into the end of the season and completely lay an egg and end up blowing it. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying it's not completely outside the realm of possibility. I hope it doesn't. I hope this is the time that the Dolphins are going to stay on the right path and get everything and take care of business and be that real contender that we all believe and hope that they can be. So, Brian, We'll see you on Sunday. Big football game. A reminder again, follow us on Twitter at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Smash that like button. Share it with your friends. Tell them to listen. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a positive review. Buy yourself some Manscaped stuff at manscaped.com using the promo code DolphinsTalk. Go to trueclassic.com. Their Black Friday deals are unbelievable at trueclassic.com. And you can still use the promo code DolphinsTalk and save even more on their t-shirts over there at True Classic. So trueclassic.com, promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 25% off of your order. Take advantage of it. You've heard me talk about True Classic at length. You don't want to blow it here. Really good. Take advantage of it. I think they've got like certain items that are 70% off right now with their Black Friday deal. So take advantage of True Classic. Use that promo code Dolphins Talk. And we will be back on Monday to recap the game against the Houston Texans and begin to look ahead to the gauntlet. The next four games I am now hereby calling the gauntlet. But first, let's not let this be a trap. Yeah? All right. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Same Old Dolphin Show. We'll be back on Monday. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
In the words of our Lord and Savior, Mother RuPaul Charles, don't F it up.